okay? If everyone would stand with me. How many of you are glad to be in God's house? I am too. Father, I thank you for the opportunity to call on your name today. I ask God that you move upon this praise team and anoint them as they sing songs for your glory. I ask Father God that you would anoint our ears to hear the words that they are singing. And may they not just be words, but be powerful message from heaven above. I pray God that our hearts will be open to receive and be attentive to the word of God and the message that you've laid on our pastor's heart. God, I pray that you would touch us from the top of our head to the soles of our feet. And as we enter in from this thankful season into this joyous, celebratory season, God, let us keep our eyes on you, on that bright and shining star. You, Jesus Christ, you. And all the saints said, amen. Enjoy. Worship, worship.
Come on, give the Lord a good praise this morning together. Come on. I searched the world, but it couldn't fill me. Man's empty praise and treasures that fade are never enough. Then you came along and put me back together. Now every desire is now satisfied here in your love. Oh, there's nothing better than you. Nothing better than you, Lord. There's nothing, nothing is better than you. Not afraid to show you my weakness, my failures and flaws. Lord, you've seen them all, and you still call me friend. 'Cause the God of the mountain is the God of the valley. That's not a place. Mercy, grace will find me again. Oh, there's nothing better than you. Oh, nothing better than you, Lord. There's nothing, nothing is better than you. Turn maze into gardens. turn bones into armies. You turn seas into highways. You're the only one who can. You turn grace into gardens. You turn bones into armies.
Come on.
You turn seas into highways. You're the only one who can. You're the only one who can. You're the only one who can.
You believe he can do it this morning? Come on. Let's give a good shout to him today. Come on. One day we're going to celebrate with the King. Somebody's saying, dance on the streets that are golden. You know, it's kind of hard to imagine walking around down here, isn't it? Sing a song of celebration. Lift up a shout of praise, for the bridegroom will come. The glorious No, oh, we will look on his face, and we'll go to a much better place. Somebody say yes.
Dance with all your might. Lift up your hands and clap for joy. The time's drawing near when he will appear. And oh, we will stand by his side as strong, pure, spotless. Lord, dance with all your might. Lift up your hands and clap for joy. The time's drawing near. He will appear. And oh, we will stand by his side. A strong rejoicing is
here. The time of rejoicing is
here. The risen King, our groom, is soon to
appear.
The wedding feast to come is now near.
The wedding feast to come is now near.
Lift up your voice, proclaim the coming. Sing aloud, for the time of rejoicing is
The
risen King, our groom, is soon to appear. The wedding feast to come is now near. Lift up your voice, proclaim the coming.
Lift up your voice, proclaim the coming.
Oh. Coming, Lamb. Coming, Lamb.
Golden. on shouts praise to him this morning. There is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus. To break every chain, 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 to break every chain. Oh, there is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus. Oh, there is power.
Change.
There is power in the blood of Jesus. There is power in the blood of Jesus. There is power in the blood of Jesus. Oh, there is power, oh, power, oh, wonder-working power. Oh, there is power, oh, power, oh, wonder-working power. To break every chain, to break every chain, to break every chain. To break every chain, to break every chain, to break every chain. Washed us and made us clean and whole within. Thank you for the blood, Jesus. Thank you for your blood that crushed the head of my enemy. Thank you for your blood that gives me victory. Thank you for your blood. Oh, it is power in the blood. Thank you for your precious blood. Oh, there is power. Oh, power, oh, wonder-working power. Oh, there is power, oh, power, oh, wonder-working power. Oh, there is power, oh, power, oh, wonder-working power. Oh, there is power, oh, power in the blood, oh, wonder-working power. To break every chain, to break every chain. To break every chain, to break every chain, to break every chain, to break every chain. Your blood breaks every chain, Lord. Break every chain, to 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 break every chain.
His blood breaks the chain. It takes away the shame. God wants that message in you guys deep, deep this morning. Amen. Hallelujah. If our ushers will come.
Praise the Lord. Amen. Let's all stand together this morning. Good to see you in God's house. Amen. Somebody say, I'm glad to be here. Amen. Look at your neighbor and say, I'm glad you're with me. Glad you're beside me. Glad you got my back. Let's turn our Bibles today to Matthew chapter number 11 and then also Luke chapter number 6. Matthew chapter 11 verse 12 and then Luke chapter number 6 verse 6. And we'll read the Bible together. I'm going to talk about Jesus came again. Somebody say, Jesus came again. Matthew chapter 12. God is so good. Matthew chapter 11, verse 12. And the Bible says, and from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and the violent take it by force. Some translations read, seize it by force. And then Luke chapter number 6. The Bible says in verse 6, now it happened on another Sabbath also that he entered the synagogue and taught. And a man was there whose right hand was withered, so that the scribes and Pharisees watched him closely, whether he would heal on the Sabbath, that they might find an accusation against him. But he knew their thoughts and said to the man who had the withered hand, arise and stand here. And he arose and stood, and then Jesus said unto him, I will ask you one thing. Is it lawful on the Sabbath to do good or to do evil, to save life or to destroy it? And when he had looked around at them all, he said to the man, stretch out your hand. And he did so, and his hand was restored as whole as the other. Amen. Father, thank you for your word today. I ask you in the name of Jesus to come, touch our hearts and minds. Grant us today the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of you. Holy Spirit, we ask you to have your way. Father, we say we desperately need your touch. Cause faith to come alive in hearts. And Father, we thank you right now for all that you do. Bring healing, bring deliverance. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said amen and amen. You may be seated today. Everybody say Jesus came again. A few things that I just want to drop in your spirit before we get into the message this morning. And that is, number one, it was his right hand. Everybody say his right hand. Very specifically in the scripture, whether it's Matthew or Mark or Luke that tells the story, one of them points out that it was his right hand. And the right hand stands for fellowship with God. It stands for fellowship also with people. I know in America we extend our right hand, you know, to shake people's hands or to shake on a deal. And so I think it's important to understand why they point this out so that we can get what the story is telling us today. And so here there's some important things I think that stand out. Number one, I believe that God chooses geographical locations or regions to do certain things. And when we talk about that, we'd say pockets of revival or places where God moves or places where some special things take place. And so oftentimes, you know, people will drive hours to get to a certain place or be in a certain meeting or sit under a certain ministry. And I know sometimes that people think, well, you know, we have that and we don't need to do that. But if you're in desperation and you need something from God, I think it's important to seek out. Somebody say, seek out. Seek out, you know, the power and the presence of the Lord, a place where the Holy Spirit can move and where you feel the presence and the power of God at. And so that's kind of a two-way street, number one. It's because if you understand Scripture, then you understand that the multitudes followed Jesus. Everybody said, well, that's Jesus. Multitudes followed Peter. Well, that was Peter. Multitudes followed Paul. Well, that was Paul. Multitudes followed those disciples. They all returned when the 70 did, when Jesus had sent them forth. Remember the story. And they came back and said, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through your name. And he said, rejoice not that the devils are subject unto you because of my name. But I think the good point to bring out here is that, number one, if you're a person who believes in the name and stands on the name, or a person that believes in the blood of Jesus, that gives you great inroads to receiving something from God. Somebody say amen. Amen. And so multitudes follow. They seek after, they want to be healed. If I was dying from cancer, if I needed a touch, if I needed a tumor to disappear, if I needed some kind of a healing, if I was blind or deaf or whatever the disease might be. I think, you know, at times we look back at past revivals and we see, you know, how God has moved in those revival meetings. But people came by the tens of thousands to get into the presence of some of those revivalists so that they could be touched by the power and presence of God. And I would say that to you this morning is that God's presence and power are here right now. As we read last Sunday, the power of the Lord was present to heal them. Talking about the Pharisees and the doctors of the law and the scribes that were present that day in the synagogue. Remember the story last week when they let the man down through the ceiling. And so the power of the Lord was present to heal them, and people were receiving. But it's important to understand, the scribes and the Pharisees didn't get anything. I said the scribes and the Pharisees didn't get anything. Why? Because they weren't seeking anything. They didn't want anything. They didn't care about Jesus. They didn't care whether anybody else received anything or not. Matter of fact, they wanted to shut Jesus down. And so that's what the religious spirit does. It wants to shut Jesus down. And so we need, say, I need the presence of the Lord, the power of the Lord. And so when you began to read the Bible, you began to notice some things, especially leading up to this story, is that there were places, geographical locations where Jesus went many times and had great moves of the Spirit of God. There were other places that he went and saw very few healings and very few miracles. And so that should stand out to us. And I'm going to say, what is the difference between many miracles and he was not able to do any great miracle among them because of their what? Unbelief. They didn't care who he was, didn't care what he brought, didn't care what he carried. You know, it's kind of like the crowd that says, bless me if you can. Let me see what you got. Let me see what you can produce. Well, it's not anything that a human can produce. It's what the God of heaven can produce and what flows out of his throne. But the person that he anoints is very important, because if we respect the anointing, then we can touch the throne of God, because God uses people like you and I to flow through as conduits where he can get his power through. Amen. I want to tell you today with what I'm getting ready to minister. If you have a need, I would plug in. I would plug in. I thought about calling this Violent Faith Number 2, and I decided just, you know, Jesus came again is important. Jesus came again. So in Chorazin and Bethsaida and in Capernaum, they were places that Jesus often went to minister, but he really liked being in Capernaum. If you read the story, there was time and time again, we see things happen. He cast demons out of people, and the crowd, you know, was shaken by the power and presence of God. It was the place where Peter's mother-in-law was healed of a fever. Remember that? When they went into Peter's house, he prayed over her, and the Bible said he rebuked the fever, it left, and that she got up and cooked them all a meal. Somebody say hallelujah. Has anybody got a fever this morning? Somebody said, well, I don't know whether I trust that or not. Listen, Jesus healed you, it's a done deal. Somebody say, and I'll know when it happens, praise God. Because when he healed you, he healed you. But she got up, cooked them a meal, the Bible said, and ministered. Somebody say, she ministered. She ministered to him. It was the place where we talked about last week where the paralyzed man that was born of four, that they took him and tore the tilings up and let him down through the roof, and where he received that miracle of God. It wasn't his faith. It was the other people's faith that got him healed. That's important today, because if you know someone who needs a miracle from God, do you know today that you, as a conduit of the Holy Spirit and of faith, can believe God for them and God can touch their life because of your faith? Somebody say, I'm glad. I'm glad. See, that comes with salvation. It comes with healing. It comes with deliverance. It comes with all kinds of things. I can remember Dr. Hagin telling many, many stories, and the ones that stand out to me are the ones he said that he prayed in proxy for people, and said when he prayed that they received it while they were in their house, when they were laying hands on the other person that was present in the meeting. See, God is not bound by these four walls. The only thing that can hold that power captive is you. Somebody say, I want to open up the gates and I want to let the King of Glory flow through me today. I want to allow the Holy Spirit to move in power and majesty and might. And so here in Capernaum, it's real important, because the Bible talks about those that were brought in cots and beds, and they were brought in all kinds of conditions, just hoping that Jesus' shadow, not just Peter's, but Jesus' shadow would pass over them and that they would get healed. See, I think oftentimes we overlook the fact that the power of the presence of the Lord are so awesome and so majestic and so authoritative, is that he can flow out of our shadow just to touch somebody when we walk by. But if we're not cognizant of that, if we're not mindful of it, if we don't think about it, then we're not going to see a lot of that. It's whether it's angelic visitation or a shadow being anointed or the power of God being in your hands or you speaking to someone. If you are cognizant of the fact that God Almighty is in you, somebody say in me, then you begin to imagine and you begin to see. It's like that song that we were singing this morning. You know, he breaks every chain. You see, in my spirit, man, I could hear those chains snapping, and I could see the blind seeing and the deaf hearing, and I could see every type of person getting healed. healed and delivered by the power of Almighty God, because that Holy Spirit, somebody say, the Holy Spirit living in you wants you to be able to see it, because somebody say, seeing it is like seizing it. If I can see it, I can seize it. I know that I can take it because I believe that my God is showing me this, and that's what he wants to be done. Somebody raise your hand and say, Father, I'm a candidate. Pour out your spirit right here upon me. And so in this geographical region, I mean, it's like when I traveled as an evangelist, there were some places I loved to go back to. Praise God, because I knew before we went, I said, man, these people are going to, they are turned on, they're praying, they're ready, they're fasting, they love Jesus. And I know the move of God that we had last time, we're going to have a greater move this time, because they're in anticipation and they're looking for it. Praise God. And so there's some places that you just want to get back to. Somebody say hallelujah. And then there are other places that you go. I remember going one time to a revival meeting. This guy just begged us to come. He begged us to go to it. And I got there and I felt like I had to pray 3 days to recover what I took. Y'all just looking at me like, I felt like I lost ground in a revival meeting. Somebody say, how could that happen? Because everybody looked like Stonewall. Nobody was reaching out into the Spirit to lay hold of something, to draw out of the presence of Almighty God. See, there's something about people that are hungry and people that want the power of God and the presence of God that attracts heaven to get to interact with earth. Somebody say hallelujah. It's the people that pray, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. And they expect that when they come to see heaven intervene so that we can have days of heaven on earth. And so Jesus loved going to these geographical regions because the multitudes were hungry. They wanted the presence of God. I don't know about you, but I want to be able to attract God. I want to be able to attract him. I want him with me. I want to be hungry for him. You may not want to be hungry for God, but I do. Amen. Some people want to be hungry for the racetrack or the sports or something else or going shopping, but we need an all-time high of the hunger of God. Come on. We need to be hungry for him, because when I'm hungry for him, I know that he is going to come and he is going to satisfy. He's going to touch. That man born of four last week, those four boys didn't get disappointed, did they? No. And so geographical regions are important. And the important thing about this story is that Jesus had been in that synagogue before. He had been present before. They had seen him operate and move in the power of the Spirit. Somebody say amen. It's just like church meetings. You know, Jesus was here last week. Jesus is here the week before. Jesus is here today. He was here before we got here, because there were people praying that were attracting the presence of Almighty God. And so people were drawing on the word of faith that was coming out of Jesus. Heaven was activated. And so we read in the story that in the synagogue, there was a man with a withered hand. Everybody say a withered hand. Now, the word withered here is important if you're going to get really all the story is pointing out, because it is in the present passive tense. And in the Greek language, all of those tenses are very important to get to really understand what Jesus is talking about. And so this word withered in the present passive tense means that his hand was withered because of something that happened to him in the past and had continued on in the future. Somebody say, it happened to him in the past and it continued on in the future. Mm-hmm. Have you ever had something happen to you that has followed you into your future? See, this is what he's talking about. Have you ever had some uninvited thing that came against you that hit your life, hit your family, hit you as an individual that you didn't ask for, that followed you into your future? Think about it. Listen. Now I'm getting your attention. Withered. Something happened in the past and continued to affect his life in the future. The passive tense tells us something happened in the past that was not his own doing. He did not do it to himself. Somebody else did it. And if you study this out, it's kind of interesting. It's like the child that gets a scalded arm and can't use it again. It's like a disease that comes and causes the moisture to come out of the arm so that it's withered and dried up and he has to hold it in and can't stretch it forth. Now I want you to get the picture. It's all like this. Withered up. Dried up. So something happened to him to put him in this condition. It took his hand from him. And on top of that, it was his right hand. The one that he used the most. The ones that stands for fellowship. It took his ability away, his capacity to work, his capacity to be normal or to interact with others. I mean, it's sort of like you walking up to somebody and wanting to shake their hand and realize that they don't have the same hand as you do. Their arm's missing. Has that ever happened to anybody? Yes. Now listen. It's important. Listen. So that which made him a man had been taken from him. It didn't say how many years in the past or when it had taken place. It's like a lot of people, you know, that come to church. They have something that happened in the past that has followed them into their future. And they aren't productive. Are you listening to me? Some kind of a disappointment. Maybe you were molested. Maybe you had an accident of some kind. Maybe somebody did spill a boiling pot of water up on you. Maybe some disease attacked you in your life. Or maybe just something happened in some kind of an accident that caused you to be withered. Somebody say withered. Dried up. Dried up. Somebody say, dried up, dried up. But the Bible says Jesus came again. Wow. Man, I love this. I love this story. Jesus came again. Everybody say, Jesus came again. It's sort of like being in that meeting, you know, where you come to and the heavens are open and everybody's getting touched and blessed and everybody gets healed and you're sitting there and you're looking at yourself and you're all withered up on the inside and you can't get free. You're full of rejection. You're full of insecurity. You've got problem after problem. You can't communicate with others. I mean, man, all this stuff is going on in your life and you feel bound because everybody else seems to have taken off and you're left behind because you're all withered up and don't have any moisture on the inside whatsoever. I would say that of church people. There's people that sit in church every single week that are dried up. They need the water of the Holy Ghost to flow into them and their lives to be touched by the power and presence of God. They need the rivers of living water flowing out of them to give life to things around them. But now they're just dried up and withered up on the vine and they're just sitting there and all they can contemplate or think about is something that happened in the past that somebody did to them or some great thing that happened to make them the way that they are. Can I say this to you? There is opportunity after opportunity after opportunity where God opens the heavens and that he comes down and he's setting captives free. And you know what God is saying? Come and get in the waters. Come and get in the line. Come into my presence. Don't just stand on the outside looking in, but press your way and make your way into the things of God. If you really need a delivering touch, all you got to do is to reach out your hand and take a hold of his hand. Come on, somebody. Somebody say, but this guy had a withered hand, not at the end of the story. And so Jesus is up ministering. And right before this, and I don't even know how long it was when he saw the man that was born of four, that they ripped the roof off and let him down in the midst. But, you know, the Bible kind of hints that he was in that meeting. Because when Jesus came again to this same synagogue, Jesus knows this guy. He recognizes him. And this guy's sitting in church. And so it is so oftentimes that I've seen people come to church, especially in revival meetings, and you look and you see the same person sitting in the back. You come the next year, the same person sitting in the back. And you ask questions, say, who is that individual? Well, they're not saved. They never given their heart to Jesus. They've been through divorce. They were molested. They've got a lot of issues in their life. But what they're not getting is the fact that God ordained the meeting. He supernaturally brought them there. They're in the moment in time where Jesus is present, and Jesus is saying, you do not want to let this moment pass by where the supernatural power and presence of God is, because if you do, you're going to miss the time that God is there, and you're going to prolong yourself in the wilderness, and you're going to leave yourself in a withered condition when Jesus wants to set you free now. Somebody say, right now. Why is it that we want to shove things off in the future? Jesus says now. Somebody say now. It's not that he won't come back, and not that he can't come back, because he comes time and time and time again. How many times was it before you got saved and walked the aisle? How many times was it before you got healed? Well, how many times was it before you really got delivered of the thing that bound you? How many times? How many times? How many times have you fallen into the same sin? Well, Jesus just keeps coming back. Somebody say, he keeps coming back. You know why? Because he knows that one time he's going to pass by, and you're going to get up and you're going to run after him. You're going to chase after what he's got, because you're going to connect in faith. See, it's so important to understand Jesus came back. See, you got to seize. Number one, you learn. You have to seize your moment. Man, I'm telling you, I tell people, my God, I wouldn't sit in the back. Why? I wouldn't sit in the middle. I'd get up front, because I'd have to say, hey, do you mind shutting up? Do you mind sitting down? Do you mind not going to the bathroom right now? Do you mind quit breaking my concentration? I need Jesus. Amen. You know, the worst thing in the world is to need a miracle and Jesus be present and me shove it out in the future. Man, I've been so disappointed so many times that I know that an individual is bound by alcohol or bound by drugs or bound by some immorality or bound, you know, by some kind of a social thing, and they can't get past it. They're disgraced. They're just depressed and beaten down. And, you know, you sit there and they get up and walk out on the Spirit of God. All the glory of heaven can be moving in the midst of that meeting. And at the end of it, when you give the altar call, they're going to be the first one to leave to get out, because they know that the hand of God is dealing with them and caressing them and drawing them. They're saying, I want to set you free now. Let me touch you now. Let me move in your life now. Let me deliver you now. But you know what they do? They turn around so often and leave Jesus. See, you got to seize your moment. Somebody say, seize it. You got to seize it. You have to seize it. That means that I have to forcefully lay hold of it. And so I can imagine the other times that Jesus had been into this synagogue, because it was one of his favorite places to go. He loved debating with the Pharisees and the doctors of the law and the scribes. He loved to get up and preach the word. And I love it on this day, because it's just like the other times when Jesus is teaching on the Sabbath day and he has the religious crowd that are present with him, and they're there and they're looking on him with disdain, and they're wanting to catch him in something that he says so that they can accuse him and bring him before the courts and do something evil against him. But Jesus is full of so much wisdom. I love this. I want to ask you a question before I heal this man. Is it lawful to do good on the Sabbath day? Or should we do evil? Now, you can't tell me that you got a donkey out here and if it gets stuck, you're not going to go get it, or a lamb that got hurt that you're not going to see after it. I want you to know that human beings are more important than animals are. And animals are real high on my scale. Clap for your dog. Clap for your cat. But this guy had been in those meetings, and Jesus had ministered to him. Jesus knew how to answer the religious crowd. And so that guy was there. He hadn't seized his moment in the past, but his moment was coming again. I can imagine the fact that here he is. He's probably sitting in his house and his hand is all drawn up against his chest and is sitting there and he's thinking to himself, and here comes his mommy or his granny or his brother or his sister and says, well, hey, Zachy, can I get you something to drink? Do you want me to get you some food? And he was sitting there going, no, I don't want nothing. Now listen. Why? Because he's angry. He didn't go the first time and the second time or the third time or the fourth time. But now he's sitting at home and he hears Jesus is coming back. So he says, I'm going to the synagogue. Somebody say the synagogue. That's where we're at this morning. We're in synagogue. He goes to the synagogue to hear the rabbi teach. Rabbi Jesus is up teaching. Somebody said, what was he teaching on? Whatever it was doing the job. So you got to seize your moment. But you know what also that you got to do? You got to ignore your critics. They're there to criticize Jesus, and I want you to understand that they're wanting to criticize this man. Look, you came in here because you think you're going to get some kind of healing today. Hey, bub, you've been in here before. Matter of fact, I've seen you bunches of times, and Jesus has been in here. Who do you think you are today that you're going to march yourself up in here with some kind of a withered up hand and get some kind of a miracle from Jesus? You see, sometimes, you know, I can imagine that he's probably, you know, feeling this stuff from them, and he's sitting out there. But see, if you're going to get something from Jesus, one of the things that you're going to have to do is you're going to have to overcome. You're going to have to seize the moment, and you're going to have to ignore your critics. Somebody say, ignore your critics. Can I put something else in here right now? Another thing, a lot of times we don't understand it, but we have to overcome pride and public opinion. Well, you know, nobody knows. Nobody knows. Man, I've been in prison. I'm an alcoholic. I'm a drug addict. I'm a prostitute. I don't care what you are. Jesus died on the cross for you. He came to set you free. Well, you know, I've lived to people. I've stolen from people. I've done all kinds of heinous things, and most people don't even know what I do because I've done it in the darkness and I've hid it all my life. You're withered up and you don't understand that God doesn't care what you've done. He has provided the remedy for you through the blood of his son Jesus, the Son of the living God. Jesus came for the man at the bottom of the gutter. Jesus came for the man that was in the darkness. Jesus came. Matter of fact, he didn't seek out the best looking, most handsome, wowing person that was in all society. He went down and what did he do? Got a woman at the well and told her history. Go get your husband. I don't have one. He said, well, you really told the truth this time. You've had five, toots. And the one you're living with now is not your own. And she was shacking up. Jesus just called it out. Somebody say, called it out. He said, but I'm telling you this right now. Give me some water, and I'll give you some water that you'll never thirst again. People get withered up. She was a withered up woman. She was withered up because she'd been hurting some past relationship, in and out, trying to find love in all the wrong places. But aren't you glad that when Jesus shows up, he's not condemning. He doesn't want to run her away. He comes to give her living water so that she can drink, so that she can come alive on the inside, and so that that witheredness can leave her life. Woohoo! Listen, pride can be a big factor in this. Pride. I can't go down in front of all those people. Jesus hung naked. I mean, he didn't have his little white loin thing on that people paint him with. He was swollen 3 or 4 times his normal size. He had gangrene. He was bloodied. His hair was half missing because where they had yanked it out, he was bludgeoned and bloody with a crown of thorns on his head, totally, absolutely exposed from the top of his head to the soles of his feet, naked and shamed before all humanity. You're clothed today. You're in a nice building. The music is played. And the invitation is going out. And Jesus is saying today, hey, You got to crucify the pride. You got to make up your mind that this is my moment. I'm going to seize my moment. I'm going to ignore the critics that are telling me, do you know who that is? My God, they've been to that altar before. They've had that same problem. I've seen them in and out of this and in and out that and do this and do that. And I'm going to tell you right now, they ain't going to get it this time. You're a liar. You just took God's place. You're a judge. God's saying, hey, what kind of faith do you have? I want the kind of faith that you say, I don't care how many times you've done it and how deep of a hole that you've dug. I'm going to reach my long saving hand down at the bottom of that cistern of hell that you're in, and I'm going to lift you up and I'm going to pull you out. You just need to seize the moment and give me an opportunity, God is saying, to show you my redemptive power. Amen. I can't change. No, you can't, but he can change you. You got to let him do it. Well, I just can't go down in front of everybody. I knew a man one time had told me he couldn't be baptized in public. Listen, scripturally, you got to be baptized in public. That's pride. Somebody say that's pride. Remember when Peter, when Jesus got down, girded himself with a loincloth and began to wash the disciples' feet? And Peter said, no, you're not doing this to me. Jesus said, if I can't and I don't, you have no part with me. Well, he said, don't only wash my feet, but the rest of me too. He laid aside the pride. Somebody say, you got to humble yourself. You got to humble yourself, because I'm going to tell you something. You keep running, you can run to a brick wall. You're building walls the whole time. So here, listen. Listen, you've got to seize the moment. You've got to ignore your critics. You've got to overcome the pride and the public opinion of people. Well, they put it on the radio and they put it on the newspaper and they, you know, it's on the internet. They got a picture of it. You know something? Who cares? My life and your life does not revolve around the internet. If it does, you are withered. First thing people do in the morning, flip that thing up and go right to Facebook. I knew it. Get that old, what is it, that Enterprise? Is that what that thing is? Okay, what's a newspaper around here? What's it called? Enterprise. They used to have two. One is Bull Mountain Bugle. An Enterprise. Be careful, because if you turn two pages, you're going to get to the back. How many have noticed that the newspaper has greatly been reduced? Listen. There's nobody in this blessed book that did great things for God that he didn't pull out of hell. Abraham was a heathen. Huh? David was the least in his household. His daddy didn't even want him to be found. And he was the giant slayer. Come on, somebody. Rahab was a harlot. And she was the one that was spared in Jericho. Jesus went to the hell holes where the devil was at, because he said, those are the ones I'm looking for right there. All the prostitutes, the drug addicts, the alcoholics. I'm looking for the ones in darkness that are out there in the occult. I've got the power to set you free. Somebody say hallelujah. See, that's what Jesus is all about. There's power in his blood and hell hates it. Mm-hmm. Now listen. So here this man is. He's sitting in Jesus' services before. Jesus has ministered the word before. And that guy walked out. He never received from the Lord. Are you listening? Uh-huh. Now, this is the thing about it. Here Jesus is. Say, Jesus came back again. He came back. I'm glad he comes back. Mm-hmm. I'm glad he keeps coming back. Come, Lord. Come, Lord Jesus. Remain. Stay here. The Bible said that he came back. He came to the same synagogue. He was there. But this time, I believe the Holy Spirit said, Jesus, go down to the synagogue again. That man
with a withered up hand is sitting in there and he's ready. Somebody say, when you get ready, you can't stop it. When you get to the bottom, there's nowhere else up. When you've fallen apart and there are no more pieces to pick up, that's the place where God will meet you at. When you're broken and nobody can put you back together again, and you sit in the night and you sit in the dark and you contemplate to yourself and you think about that thing that happened to me in the past that's caused me to be what I did. My mama left me when I was just a baby. Oh, you don't understand the divorce that I went through. You don't understand the names that they call me, what my teachers did to me in school. I was molested by a pastor. I was raped by a person in my immediate family. I've had hell break out in my life. You don't understand what withered me. But I want to tell you this morning, I may not understand what withered you, but I know somebody who can unwither it. I know somebody who can unwither it. I know somebody who can open that hand back up. And so here he is, he's sitting in the service, Jesus is up and he's teaching, and those old Pharisees are sitting there and they're looking on him. And I love this because the Bible said that Jesus looked on them with anger. Man, they got his spirit riled up. It wasn't a bad anger. It was a godly indignation. Because Jesus is thinking to himself, that man sitting here with a withered hand needs a miracle from God. He's came in here every Sunday. And you rabbis that have the keys that God Almighty's given to you to set people free and unlock the doors, you're bound them. If you make a convert, you make it twice the child of hell that you are. But I'm going to show you today that the Son of Man is Lord of the Sabbath as well. Listen. And so here Jesus is. They're looking at him. They want to catch him in something so bad. And so Jesus calls him out. Somebody say, called him out, like I do people sometimes. Jesus said, hey, you. Yeah, you with the withered hand. I just wouldn't do people like that. How could he call out a disability like that and shame that individual? Well, I'm going to tell you something. The people that I've seen have miracles, they didn't care. This guy had to deal with his pride, yes. But Jesus called him out because he knew he was ready. That man was saying, I don't care. I don't care about my pride. There's nothing else that can happen to me that can shame me anymore. There's nothing else that the enemy can do to me to make me quit. I mean, I've had it, and I'm at the bottom of the barrel. I'm the off scouring. Now listen, so here Jesus called him out. He didn't only call him out, but the Greek language says this. He called him out and said, I want you to stand right here in the middle of everybody where everybody can see what's getting ready to happen. And see, that's the thing about, you know, like, public altar calls is that pride tells us not to come. Pride says, what are people going to think? Well, who cares what the Pharisee thinks? Pride says, I just can't do it. That's why Jesus called him out. Jesus called him out. He said, come down here and stand right in the middle. I love this. So Jesus, Rabbi Jesus gets up, calls him out. The guy comes and stands right in the middle of everybody. And Jesus looks at him. He's standing there. Everybody in church is going, it's that man of that withered hand. Really? How observant. How astute. How, I mean, just, wow. Yeah, I just wouldn't do that. I wouldn't do anybody like that. You know, it makes them feel ashamed. No. I can tell you right now, when the power of God hits them, these two right here, he's already brought her no telling how far. Would you tell me last week that you never stood up by yourself before? But he did. I want God to hit him and he runs around the building. See, it's not me, but I know him. Jesus got him up and stood him there. He said, stretch forth your hand. See, he didn't just jerk it out like this. Jesus said, stretch out your hand. And he stretched it out and he saw his own skin and his own arm and his own fingers go straight. And the Bible said that he was healed and restored. Oh my God. My God. Doesn't it make you want to bring whatever's withered to Jesus? Come on, somebody. What's withered? What's withered today? What has the enemy done in your past that you've carried with you all these years into your future? It's with you right now to disdain, to beat down, to depress, to cause you to be full of insecurity and rejection and all the different junk that the enemy wants to put on your life. You may have been a failure 1 million times over, but it doesn't matter because the one that brings success is Jesus, the Son of the living God, and he wants to set you free. Do you know what happened when his arm stretched out? Somebody said it was made whole. Yes. It was made whole. But now you think, did the Pharisees shut up? No. They just went and found something else to talk about. So somebody else to talk about. What happened? Every one of those thoughts that had held him captive were gone. The darkness, the troubles, the insecurity, the rejection, all the fears, all the pride, everything was gone. My God. Can you imagine that? In a split second of time, all Jesus did was call him out and said, stretch out your hand. Stretch out your hand. You're going to do what you couldn't do. Because listen, when Jesus called you, when Jesus touches you, you're going to do what you cannot do. You're going to do what's humanly impossible. You're going to do what the flesh cannot produce. You're going to do, come on somebody, you're going to do what's not in your ability to do, because he's the one that's going to give you the ability. He's the one that's going to touch you, and he's the one that's going to bring what that rivers of water flowing back into you again and going to take what's been dried up and flood it with the glory of God. Somebody say praise God. Let's give the Lord a hand clap right there. So what's withered today? What's withered? Do you know somebody that's got something withered? Is it a marriage? Is it a child? Is it you know, something to do with ministry? Is it in life or whatever that it is? What's withered in your life today? Because are you going to be like the man did so many times when he came into the synagogue and when the last word was spoken, he got up and walked out? You could just turn away and not let Jesus touch you again, because listen, it's going to continue to get worse because that long train and litany of stuff that the enemy has brought against your life that digs the hole deeper and deeper and makes it darker and darker is not going to change until you meet Jesus head on and allow him, come on somebody, to make you whole again. Somebody say whole. The thing about it is when Jesus restored him, that word restore is important. He made it as if it never happened. He said, look, I can do that. And some guy walking down the sidewalk saying, well, I can too. He said, no, you don't understand how many years I couldn't do that. Look at what I can do. Look what I can do. And see, that's the thing about Jesus is the moment that he makes you whole, everything about you gets loosed. And you begin to praise him and you begin to magnify him. All the depression and the darkness and junk begins to leave and it goes scurrying out because number one, what has been bound is now has been loosed, and that which has been cursed has been delivered by the blessing power of God. So what is withered today? Or do you have insecurity? Do you have rejection? Are you bound by drugs? Are you bound by alcohol? Were you molested by a family member? Did your father leave? Did your mother leave? Did you, you know, whatever the deal is that the enemy did in your life, he's going to continue to do it until the Redeemer shows up and you allow Jesus to redeem your situation. I want us to stand together this morning. Jennifer, come on up. Jesus came again, and he's here right now. Jesus is present right now. My God. He's present. He's present. He's present. On every head bowed, listen today. Jesus is asking you right now to stretch forth your hand. Whatever's withered, he wants you to bring it to him. Whatever has brought the rejection, the insecurity, the disease, the pain, the suffering, whatever that it is, Jesus is wanting you to bring it to him. The witheredness. What's dried up? What's dried up today that God needs to restore? What is it that the enemy has taken that needs to be restored? Right now, in Jesus' name, I want you to bring it to this altar right now. I want you to get it. I want you to bring it to the altar. Bring it today. Bring it to God. Bring it to God. Bring it into his presence. Bring it to Jesus today. Right now. Just bring it to him. The things that you think can't be moved, the things that you think can't be changed, the things that the devil says, no, it'll never happen, bring it now. Bring it in the name of Jesus. Bring it to Christ, the anointed one with his anointing. Bring it. Bring it, because God is going to turn some things around. He's going to bring restoration. He's going to bring healing. He's going to bring wholeness. He's going to bring soundness today in the name of Jesus. To where there was no soundness and where there was no health, the things that have withered away, he's going to bring it back. Somebody say, bring it back, Lord. Bring it back. Bring it back. Oh, Jesus, we worship you, Lord. We worship you, Jesus. Yes, we do, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Right now. Right now. What's withered? What's withered? What's withered? What is withered? I want you in your spirit today. I want you to get a hold of what's withered. Whatever that it is, get a picture of it. Get it in your spirit, man. Get it in your spirit, man, right now. Get a picture of it. Get it in your spirit, man, right now. Right now. And what we're going to do is an act of faith. You know what we're going to do? We're going to stretch it out, and we're going to give it to Jesus today. We're going to stretch it out, and he's going to make it whole. We're going to stretch it out, and he's going to change things. We're going to stretch it out, and he's going to turn it around. We're going to stretch it out, and he's going to bring the deliverance. Have you got it? I want you to take your hand today, and I want you to have in that hand whatever that it is. And I want you right now, listen to what I'm going to say. I'm going to say, stretch forth thine hand. Let's do it right now. Stretch forth thine hand. Right now, give it to Jesus and believe the Holy Spirit. My God, I feel the power of God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Oh God, we stretch it out right now in the name of Jesus. We give it to you, God. We stretch it out in Jesus' name. We stretch it out. We stretch it out like the man with the withered hand, Jesus. And Lord, you made him whole. You made him whole. You healed him and made him whole. You didn't just heal him, but you made him whole. You wiped it out of his mind. You wiped it out of his soul. You took it out of his spirit. You took it away from him, Lord, completely, that he wouldn't even think about it anymore or be depressed about it. God, we thank you right now that you, Jesus, that you make us whole, that you heal, that you make us whole, I want us just begin to thank him, begin to praise him right now in Jesus' name. I want you to imagine what happened when that man saw his hand straighten out and those fingers straightened out. What was the next result? It had to have been one glorious praise to the Father. It had to be, thank you, Jesus, right now. Thank you for making me whole. Thank you. Praise you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Praise him. Hallelujah. Praise him like it's done. Praise him like it is done. Praise him like, hallelujah. Jesus. Hallelujah. Break every chain. Break every chain. Break every chain today, Lord. Break every chain. Thank you, Lord. Devil, you don't stand a chance on this side. Not as long as the church is here. Father, right now in Jesus' name, we take authority and bind every one of these withered things.